This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Jaden Daniels had, now he's not as athletic as Jaden, but like puts up the big year and becomes the number one pick. Like I mean, there's a universe where that exists.
LSU, you eventually just accidentally are good. Like, for crying out loud, like Les Miles won a national title.
Their last three coaches have won a national title, two of which are certified morons.
Yeah. So the idea that Brian Kelly, I mean, he's got to make the playoff. I mean, he just has to. There's no way. That LSU
are they better
make it
on
in a
defense
this year, right?
I mean, are they better on defense? Like, I think the problem is, like, man, you couldn't make the playoff with Jaden Daniels having honestly one of like the five great seasons we've ever seen.
They should be better. I mean, they should be better defensively. Will I mean? Can I sit here and guarantee you that they will be? No, but I mean, there's no excuse for them not to be.
Also, Marcella with. The one I think we can all break our neck nodding in agreement. Prepare for Texas A&M dark horse chatter.
Oh, yeah.
Like, whoever, can't wait to see whoever they play in their first 2 weeks, big games, me talking myself into this time it's different.
Well, I love it, like, when you don't go and hire a celebrity coach. Like, when Mike Elko's your coach, you're automatically a dark horse. Like, if the coach at Texas A&M was somebody that anybody knew, they wouldn't be a dark horse. But it's like, oh, yeah, Mike Elko's their coach, so they're a dark horse. Because, like, he's not a celebrity, you know?
Yep.
Anyway.
All right, when we come back, we've got a little bit of news about ESPN that I want to discuss, also some college basketball news and NFL news. We'll get into that when we come back right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Zen Sports is getting ready to launch their new VIP Play app. VIP Play will offer over 200 leagues to wager on and all of your favorite bet types. You've heard of Live Now, but you've not yet experienced Live Always on VIP Play. They'll also still have the VIP Players Club sweepstakes every month, in which every bet you make on VIP Play goes into entries for their monthly sweepstakes. You'll earn one entry per bet, one entry per dollar bet, and 10 times your entries on parlays and same game parlays. You can bet assured in Tennessee with the VIP guarantee. With VIP Play, everyone plays like a VIP. That means 24/7 customer support from real people, and you can earn entries into the Players Club sweepstakes with every bet and being able to cash out a bet for the full stake if the line hasn't changed, plus much, much more. You can also get ready to claim your VIP welcome bonus. When you make your first bet for $5 or more, you get $100 in bonus bets instantly. All you have to do is use the promo code JeffTN when that happens. VIP Play is coming to Tennessee soon, so head on over to VIPPlayApp.com for more information. Gambling problem, 1-800-889-9789. You must be 21 and older and located in Tennessee to bet. Let's get into the list. Donald Trump. Yeah, this is according to Ross Dellinger over at Yahoo Sports. President Donald Trump is making plans to create a presidential commission on college athletics, the first step in what could be a months-long endeavor for solutions to the issues ailing the ecosystem. Multiple sources, both in Congress and within college sports, spoke to Yahoo Sports under the condition of anonymity, as they were not authorized to speak about Trump's plan. Many college sports stakeholders have been briefed on the matter. It is unclear when an announcement could come. According to Dellinger, the commission is expected to deeply examine the unwieldy landscape of college sports, including the frequency of player movement in the transfer portal, the unregulated booster compensation paid to athletes, the debate of college athlete employment, preserving the Olympic sports structure, the application of Title IX to revenue share payments, and even conference membership makeup and conference television contracts, those with knowledge of the commission told Yahoo Sports. He also goes on to continue to say this plan is light on details. I don't know. I guess this is the real question. Trump is obviously taking somewhat of an interest. I mean, he's had Saban there. Saban, I think, introduced him at the commencement at Alabama. He's clearly taken an interest. But I guess what I would tell other people is we kind of thought for a while Trump might save golf. I mean, you were hearing reports of he was able to get the tour and Saudis together, and actually it seemed like hammer out a deal, to the point that, remember back at the Players, we were hearing there were rumors that possibly the LIV guys could show up at the Players. And for those that don't follow golf, consider yourself lucky. We are no more near actually getting a solution to that than this. So I guess the real question for me is, Cobb, do you think this is going to have any legs?
Well, with the golf thing, for Trump to get involved, I always perceive that to be he wants the two tours to come back together so that his Trump courses are no longer viewed as like
LIV courses.
Yeah, right, exactly. He wants to have premier majors, PGA Tour events played at some of his Trump courses, and so it would serve him if it was all under one umbrella. I don't know exactly how trying to save college sports serves him. You know, we've got tariffs, war in Ukraine, and college sports, right? Like, I don't know. On the one hand, hey, if it helps us get to a solution, then by all means. Like, I just am skeptical that it will, because this is this commission – you know, Dellinger says it's going to take months, so let's interpret that to mean years, probably, for them to reach any sort of resolution or suggestion. You know, they're basically just saying this House settlement isn't going to actually stand on its own two feet, and that more action is going to have to be taken even after the House settlement. Like, that's my takeaway.
Well, did you see what Ross... All right. Did you see what Ross tweeted?
We thought House was going to save us. It's not. So let's just go ahead and start the next thing that's going to save us that probably won't actually do it.
Did you see what Ross tweeted yesterday?
What?
The new proposal from the school side? Because it's been very clear. The federal judge has told them, either you grandfather in the roster limits or I'm throwing this thing out.
Right.
And that seemed to be like, this is my compromise. I don't want the roster limits, period, but I'm making this compromise that I'll let you grandfather them in. Well, the solution was, from the college side, we are going to grandfather in those that either leave schools or are cut, essentially. They'll have the same status at their new school. To which I'm sitting there going like, how is that any... If they leave right now and they go to another school and they're on a roster, like, that's the same thing. It was like...
It's still the same number of scholarships.
They were
way.
Just trying to repackage it. Like, it was almost like they just tried to act like, here's a brand new idea we've never thought of.
That's weird. Yeah, the politics of it all is just maddening. If this commission, if the presidential commission leads to the creation of legislation, bipartisan legislation that can be passed through Congress, like, that could be a positive outcome. It's just, we've seen it before. I mean, for how many years now have we seen, oh, you know, Saban and so-and-so are going to talk to Congress, and then a committee will take it up, and there will be a committee hearing, but then it never gets any legs. Like, what's going to be different about this commission that actually leads to results, or to Congress actually caring? I don't know. I'm skeptical.
I guess I'll play it out with you, and I don't really believe this, but, like, I am trying to game out scenarios. If the current environment continues as such, does it reach a point where it becomes so unpopular that Congress is just going to do a, like, part of the reason why I don't believe they're touching it is because either way they take a side, it's going to be unpopular. It's a no win. Does it ever reach a breaking point to which people are so fed up with it that doing something becomes a political win? Because if that is the case, then I can see a scenario where they do actually take it up as an issue, but it doesn't seem like we're there yet.
Well, the most realistic scenario is this commission makes a recommendation to the NCAA, i.e. university presidents, that, hey, the only way to legally ensure the future of college sports with the way things are going is to make the athletes employees. Like, if they have a presidential commission that has, I mean, like, let's just go ahead and say it. Condoleezza Rice is going to be on this thing.
Yeah.
Jeff Long will somehow find his way onto this thing.
Andrew Luckstad.
Yes, Andrew Luckstad. You know, if those three and whatever five other people in suits they put on this thing say, you know what, the only way to navigate the future of college athletics is to make these people employees. Like, if they can put together a committee that the NCAA and that university presidents respect and will listen to, and they tell them that, then, like, that could be a win. That could be a positive outcome. I'm just, again, skeptical.
Yeah, the problem is also, it does seem like at this point, I guess if I'm like taking a step back and putting it on a timeline, doesn't it also feel like the NCAA is like, well, we tried spending all the money lobbying on Congress. Well, first we tried winning in the courts. We lost that. Then we tried spending money lobbying for Congress. That went nowhere. Now it's like, all right, well, if we can't get Congress, maybe we can get Trump. But the thing is, even if you get the president, an executive order is still probably going to be challenged. The only way this could work, to your point, is if Trump makes a recommendation and then Congress takes it up as an issue, but then it's got to be voted on, become law. There's lots of Republicans that aren't down with this. And then,
if it comes from a committee that Trump endorsed and picked, then maybe they will. Like maybe he could actually, you know.
Yeah, for all the he rules with like a dictatorship, he's had some losses.
I mean, that's true. Like, it's not like, you know, it's like Republicans fall in line with him on everything.
Right.
But if you're talking about, you know, sort of things that Republican voters care about, college sports are fairly high on that list of things, you know, domestically, you know, whatever. Like, there's a lot of other issues out there that matter more than college sports, like, of course. But
I guess, though, I've wondered this, though. I agree with you in the solid South. But, like, this is the other thing. It's like, people always forget this. You know what state has the most Republicans? California. Like,
Where they don't care about college
at all. Like, you know, there are, for all the, it's like we do this thing of like, we conceptually just put everything into either a red state or a blue state, and we assume that every person there just thinks in line of whether or not it's red or blue. It's like, you guys do realize, like, California has like 40 million Republicans, right? Like, it's like, it's a very high number. And so, like, are Republicans in the Northeast gonna care?
Probably not. But my point is, there might be some Republicans in the South even who would be willing to go along with concepts that they don't necessarily agree with, like, politically, if it meant saving college sports, like organized labor, for example.
Sure.
Like, you see all the time, auto manufacturers relocate to Mississippi or Tennessee because there's an anti-union sentiment in those states, right? If,
100%.
Though, college sports,
I mean,
were to be...
Hyundais are made, I believe, in Alabama.
Yep.
Nissans are made in in Mississippi.
Yeah, you got a huge Volkswagen plant near Chattanooga.
There's BMWs, I think, are made in South Carolina.
Yeah, and it's because of the anti-union sentiment.
Yeah, and I think Mercedes is Alabama too, maybe.
Right. And so, but if these anti-union politicians were to say, you know what, we're going to get on board with legislation that would lead to the unionization of college sports because it's the only way to save college sports, then maybe it's a different story. If it's like, hey, we're going to lose the SEC and lose college football, and this thing's going to go down a path that of no return, or like there's got to be unions, like, you know, I think they would huddle up and say, you know what, like, yeah, we're not typically pro-union, but if this is the best way to save college sports, then we're for it.
Ross also tweeted out, a new NCAA D1 governance model is being shared with executives. The model, the proposed model streamlines NCAA committees, shrinks them, eliminates some, etc., but most notably grants the four power conferences 51% and as much as 65% of weighted voting privileges, sources tell Yahoo Sports. Again, it's important to note the NCAA has handed out a lot of these proposals that have gone nowhere. I mean, to me, like, that is at least the, you know, that falls in line with what we've been seeing, which is, okay, giving them more and more power, but I have no idea if that's going anywhere. I mean, to me, it's like, you got to, what is House due tomorrow?
Well, it's coming up. Yep.
I mean, you got to get that thing settled.
You do, yeah, no doubt. I mean, because that's going to affect all the promises that were made to this year's players. Also, keep this in the back of your mind.
All right.
I've heard some, this is, you know, I'm not reporting this, but
there's speculation,
been a lot of speculation.
Informed speculation.
Yeah, there's been a lot of speculation that there's going to be a lawsuit in the next whatever week, month, and before the next academic year begins.
All right.
We'll just
okay.
Umbrella
yeah,
it that
sure.
way, because you never know. You never know when it'll get filed and whatnot, when the language will be final, when every attorney and every plaintiff will have signed off on it. But there is a growing speculation behind the scenes that something we're going to see before the next academic year starts. So at some point in these next 3 months, is a lawsuit for that blanket fifth year of eligibility, so that every NCAA
yeah.
athlete would have a blanket 5 years.
Yeah, I've heard
with
this
hopes,
too.
With hopes that it could apply even to players that appear to have exhausted their eligibility already, like to basketball players who appear currently to be out of eligibility, who might be able to then say, oh, well, actually, we can play next season. But I think the House settlement has to go through before that lawsuit gets filed, because what the House settlement does is going to allow you to have up to 15 players in basketball, all on scholarship. Well, if that doesn't go through, then this lawsuit's going to get held up and might not ever get filed, because the people who are behind
right.
it aren't going to want all these extra players eligible if there aren't roster spots for them, because then they're going to have to kick off freshmen who they have signed to go get their senior back for a fifth season. So that's a huge domino that could fall after this House settlement. I don't think that's been widely reported, but there's a lot of sort of speculation that could come immediately after House.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I had heard that as well. I didn't know, like you, it's like, I don't know how seriously to take it. But something that I was at least considering, I was telling Munz on Monday that I feel like the Dane Danger situation rhymes a lot with the DeAndre Williams. Not in the merits of their request of a waiver, but what I'm talking about, what it rhymes with, was when DeAndre first announced like he was applying for the waiver, everyone kind of had the same position, which is, feels like a Hail Mary, no reason not to take the shot, but feels like an incredible long shot. But then we started to have, like, as time went on, there was growing momentum. Like, hey, this is going to happen. DeAndre's going to be back. To the point in which, like, most people were thinking, like, DeAndre's going to be back. Well, they finally rule on it, and you go back to exactly where you should have been at the beginning. And I kind of traced back. I was like, where did the optimism keep coming from? And it was a lot of just Penny. Like, Penny was just optimistic. He wasn't hearing anything, so he's like, I think this is going well. And so I've been wondering with Dane Danger if it's kind of the same thing, because Munz has been very clear that unless they're going to have to either change a rule or they're going to have some other new type of interpretation for Dane to be eligible. But at the same time, you keep hearing growing optimism. I did start to wonder, it's like, oh, maybe Dane would be somehow involved in that. But I think the problem is Dane would still have used, it's a blanket 5 years, correct? Whether
if
or not
it's a blanket five, then it wouldn't help him. But if there's
right.
certain exceptions to that, like 5-0, or in these circumstances, you could have a sixth.
Or maybe like a total right. number of games, or, you know what I mean? Like, yeah.
If it's total number of games, then by gosh, there's no reason why he shouldn't get a waiver. I mean, he played three
yeah.
seasons, and that's it. The first year he was at Baylor,
yeah.
you know, it was the COVID year, really shouldn't have counted anyway. Second year, I only played three games and then decided to transfer. So, you know, he's only played three seasons of college basketball, honestly. So, like, I feel like he should, based on the reality of what we've seen, which is basically that a lot of guys just played for five seasons. Like, why are we trying to say Dane Danger can't play for a fourth and sixth years when one of those years is COVID? Like, I don't know. It seems like he should get it, but I mean, I'm basing that just on sentiment more so than precedent, you know?
Well, it's like you kind of would like apply common sense, but you know, that's never the way to do it. ESPN. According to Daniel Kaplan over at Awful Announcing, Flagship, we hardly knew ya. Flagship is the handle ESPN has used for about a year now to refer to its developing and highly anticipated direct-to-consumer app, which will, for the first time, make all of ESPN's channels available for standalone sale. Next week, ESPN will retire the PlaySetter flagship and replace it with the real thing. According to Disney CEO Bob Iger, if you are a subscriber of linear ESPN, you will automatically get what I know we've been referring to as ESPN flagship. By the way, it will not be called that. And next week, Jimmy Pitaro plans to reveal not only the name, but also he'll talk about it, our pricing strategy. But the plan would be basically to be somewhat agnostic from a subscriber perspective so that we can still do our best to preserve the multi-channel ecosystem. So amongst all the corporate buzzwords, the bottom line for me was, if you are someone that is still holding strong, like all heroes, and you have DirecTV and you subscribe to ESPN, I do at least get this.
Okay, simplify this for me. What, like, am I going to be able to watch ESPN still?
So what's unclear to me is, are you using Fubo?
Yeah, I'm using my comped Fubo sub.
So
the best benefit I get. I mean, I'm
he
on
only specifies linear ESPN, and I think he's specifying that because we technically are paying the most for ESPN. Like, if you actually settle it down. So I have no idea, because Fubo's part of a lawsuit in which the government's looking into, because Fubo originally sued ESPN when they were announcing Venue, and then all of a sudden the lawsuit went away and ESPN was acquiring Fubo. So my gut says maybe, because right now it's being part of ESPN, but if the government says break it up, I have no idea. But that does quickly get me to, I think I might have discovered the future of television. And I want to be very clear. I have no idea. So I was staying at somebody else's beach house, and it's a thing called Formular. I think I'm saying that right. I just read it. I have no idea. Like, I'm reading it. I've never heard of this thing. I'm scrolling around, and Cobb, the best example I can give you of this is, it was the closest thing to before satellite dishes got kind of marketed. Like, you had Dish, DirecTV. If you had people that had satellite service, you had access to like 10,000 channels. Like, right, you were getting channels from France, like all over the world. On this thing, I saw, like, it was the closest thing I've seen to that. George, you could have gotten Sky's, all of the Sky channels from Britain, including like Formula One, sport, golf. I was watching the Sky coverage of the PGA Tour. Now,
is this legal?
I have no idea. So I looked it up. And so it's one of those ones where it's not there yet, because it's still way too dependent on the strength of your internet connection. And what I could tell is the same issues I've always had with streaming, this existed. But if somebody could figure out a way to make this thing work, I saw the future, because this was like every channel known to man. Cobb, there were like 300 local affiliate channels.
Oh, well, you know, there's no way, like, especially the
my first thought was, is this, my first thought was, is this illegal cable? But I looked it up. The product exists.
I'm on the website right now.
MLB and NBA are going to be like, no, we're not going to let this happen.
I don't know if they knew about this. Like, that was my first thought. Is like,
I mean, MLB doesn't.
Maybe this is, yeah, there's no chance MLB knows about this. NBA, maybe. But Like, I was like, maybe this is arrogance on my part, but it's like, if I've never heard of this, I'd imagine the average person hasn't.
Well, so, it begs the question. I mean, who are you renting this beach house from, and what else do they have?
I mean, like, that was the thing. It's not practical yet. It was to the point where when it worked, you're like, this is the greatest thing ever. But it only worked at about 30 minutes at a time.
Was there a flying car in the garage?
Not yet. Several golf carts, though. We rented it from one of my dad's buddies in Texas.
Okay.
So I'm on the website right now looking at this.
Yeah.
What I can gather what this thing actually is, because I'm looking at, like, what they have on the website and how they're advertising.
The website was not... I looked at the website, too. The website does not advertise what the product was.
No. What this essentially is, just based on what I'm seeing here, this is essentially just a microcomputer.
Yeah.
It's just a PC. I'm talking, it is advertising DDR4 RAM, gigabytes of storage, graphics cards.
Yeah.
This is just a microcomputer that you either plug into the internet
yep.
or connect to Wi-Fi.
Yep.
It uses Android, like the actual, you know...
the operating system for...
Operating system interface, and just connects you to the internet. Where it goes, that's a great question.
Yeah, but like, that's the thing. Like, it had a guide, and I'm telling you, Cobb...
These are just computers, pretty much.
Yeah, but it's like a computer that has access to every television channel.
I don't know how it does that.
I don't know how that worked. Like,
so I'm intrigued.
These are
I'm
like
intrigued, but
Sky,
I need a long test run before I
no,
use
no,
this thing
Scott,
on the college
No, no, no. I'm not
Saturday.
Telling you to go out and buy this. That would be
no.
I would tell you to not go buy this. But you know, like,
I
when
see
you
the...
see at the beginning, like, you can see the kernel of the idea. It's like, if somebody can figure this thing out, that is actually the future.
Okay. It has pictures of the guide that you're
yeah.
talking about. It's through a separate, I'm assuming, proprietary app on here called MyTV.
MyTV. That was it.
Yes.
It was MyTV 2.
MyTV
Online
2.
But MyTV 2 had access to... Cub, these are premium channels. It, like, everything in Sky over in the UK is... It's like HBO. You have to pay for it.
Yep.
This is kind of wild.
I don't
the
know.
The FBI might be showing up.
If
at,
somebody
at
can
your,
figure this thing
house.
Out, I'm in.
The right household.
Yeah. No. I'm telling you.
Excuse me. Beach house.
No,
beach
no.
house.
I had the frustration. It was the same thing. I had the same frustrations that I've had. But unlike when I have YouTube TV, DirecTV Stream, or Fubo, whenever I had all these, I was like, this. I never had the aha moment of this is it.
Oh, big question. Big question, though. What was the lag time on live sports?
It was insane. It was like broadcast.
Okay.
I got to watch golf without the PGA Tour getting its hands involved.
That's great.
It was amazing. All right, CJ Hurt joins us next right here on Jeffrey Wright Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
CJ Hurt's a Grind City Media personality. You can hear him on The Jessica Benson Show with CJ Hurt weekdays every single day over at Grind City Media. Also, check him out on the HBCU Huddle. He's on Twitter on X at ConRadicalness. CJ, how many elite you can put this guy on any team and that team is a playoff team? How many of those do you think we have in the NBA right now?
Great question. Before I answer that question, let me just say something real quick.
Let's hear it.
I've lived in Tennessee most of my life. I'm a Tennessean. There are good days to be one of those. There are bad days. And today feels like a bad day to be a Tennessean. I've been to every nook and cranny of this state because of basketball, both high school and AAU or Little League baseball, district all-star and state competitions and things of that nature. I've been Johnson City, been to Jackson, Tennessee, where my family is from, lived in Nashville. I live in Memphis now. Kicked it in Dixon County. I've been all over this state, and this might be the saddest I've ever been to be a Tennessean. The fact that those officers, the ones who murdered Tyree Nichols in cold blood, got off at the state level with a jury from Hamilton County who saw the video and thought to themselves, nothing wrong here. That's just average, ordinary, everyday policing. To me, that's just a good job. To me, that is shameful. The fact that those officers went out there and beat a man to death is shameful. After beating him, the fact that they didn't offer any sort of medical aid or first aid at all and just left him lying on the street shaking is shameful. The fact that when the EMTs or the fire department, whichever one showed up first, showed up, and they just pointed and said, yeah, he's over there, and didn't tell them what happened so that the medical personnel could administer appropriate aid to a man who was dying because you beat him to death is shameful. And the reasoning behind it, some of the things that were being said during this trial is, oh, we found a whole bunch of drugs on him. We didn't know. He might have had superhuman strength. He might have had superhuman strength from doing all of these drugs that we allegedly found on him. It's shameful. I wish he did have superhuman strength so he could have made it the 100 yards to his mama's house where safety was, because that is shameful, disgraceful, and I am so sad to be a Tennessean right now. Now, for your point, I think maybe five. Luka, Steph, I think Giannis is still elite. He's just in a tough spot right now. Tyrese Halliburton is approaching that. If they end up sweeping the Cavs, they end up winning this series, I might be willing to pick Halliburton in there. So that's three right there. Gosh, I don't know. As good as the Celtics are, I don't know if I would consider either Brown or Tatum elite, but they are damn good. I think I'd still consider LeBron elite. If I'm putting LeBron in there, I'll put Tatum in there.
Even at 40? Because I still think LeBron's damn good, but I don't, like, yeah, I guess you're right. If it's playoff team, you're right. Yeah, you're right.
Shea, Jokic, seven. Like, and I'm being real generous with some of these. So about seven or eight.
Because, like, that's kind of the biggest thing that I get it. It's one game, and we always knee-jerk react. But I've kind of felt this all year about Shea, where I think he's going to win the MVP, and he deserves the MVP. But when we get into the playoff series, and he's up against Jokic, I know his numbers were great, but, like, man, when you were watching the game, you felt like one of these guys is not like the other, and it wasn't Shea versus Jokic. It was Jokic versus Shea.
That is, yeah, I've heard other people say that. That is an insane thing to say about a dude who went for 33 points, 10 assists, 8 rebounds, 2 steals.
Well, I did also make the point, in fairness to Shea, Jokic had Murray step up on Monday night, and Aaron Gordon stepped up on Monday night. Who stepped up for the Thunder? I mean, Caruso, but at the same time, it's like, if Caruso's the answer, it's like, where are you, Jalen, and where are you, Chet?
That is the thing is Jay Will. Chet is done in this series. This series is not a good series for a Chet Holmgren who lacks the physical strength to bang with either Aaron Gordon or Jokic. Aaron Gordon threw down a dunk in transition that sent Chet flying across the court, right? Like, Chet still needs to put on some grown man muscle. Remember when Kevin Durant came into the league, he was long and scrawny. Kevin Durant is still long and scrawny, but he's strong now. Eventually, Kevin Durant, there are just some people whose body types and physiques lend itself to them just being long, scrawny type of dudes. But just because you're long and scrawny doesn't mean you're not also strong. And eventually, Kevin Durant got strong as well. And that's going to have to happen for Chet if he's going to continue to grow into a really, really good basketball player when it's all said and done. That's a part of that unicorn thing, right? You want that body type because that body type usually means, all right, thinking about Wembanyama, Jaren also comes to mind as dudes who came into the league longer and leaner. Like, oh, okay, he's got handles. He's probably got really, really good touch. Also, probably a tremendous alterer, rim protector. But when they're playing bigger dudes who know how to use their bodies and use their strength, they can get bumped out of the way. And too often in that contest, Chet was getting knocked around. Not just Chet, but throwing the Dorts of the world also, and the Jay Doves of the world also, where they're coming into the game and they're so undersized. And this Nuggets team, they have the IQ and the understanding and the old man game, so to speak, to go out there and see that and say, oh, okay, I'm just going to bully these dudes out of the way. Aaron Gordon, Michael Porter Jr., and then you throw into what Jokic is doing, where in the Grizzly series, the Thunder, like, yeah, just switch the screen. We'll stick Dort or we'll stick Caruso on Jaren. And Jaren kind of gets flummoxed by it because Jaren can't get them up out of his space. Jokic can get you up out of his space. That elbow landed where it was supposed to land, right? Like, Jokic went over there and checked on Dort as he was lying on the ground, rolling around, holding his head. But that elbow went where it was supposed to go. If you're going to crowd me, and this is what Jokic is saying, mind, if you're going to crowd me, okay, I got something for you. I'm going to get you up off of me. If the refs are not going to call it, I'll handle it myself. And you'll notice that Dort wasn't back up into Jokic in the same sort of a way. Messages were sent and received.
No, I think you're more than right on that. I think on the Halliburton thing, has anyone had like a better response to, and I thought it was overblown when it was like most overrated. It was like 14%. It wasn't as if like 70% of the league said he was overrated. Like the margins were very, very minuscule, but it was definitely a narrative that's out there. It feels like this has been about as good of a month as you could have in response to, all right, you guys think this? I'll show you.
What a goofy narrative. It's a goofy thing we do in sports. We go out there and we seek reasons to do the whole pit a chip on somebody's shoulder so they can, quote, take it personally. Like, Halliburton wasn't going to go out there and ball like that if 14% of his peers didn't call them overrated. Right? Like, I can find 14% of people right now to agree with something stupid. Like, that's just the way we roll. Tyrese Halliburton is having such a good run right now in the playoffs, and he had a pretty good run last year also. That team, I forgot until somebody, I forget who brought it up, but somebody said, yeah, that team was in the conference finals last year, and they had opportunities, plural, to beat the Celtics and to be the ones advancing to the NBA finals. And I think that with that experience, coupled with the way they added pieces around him and with that team, when you think about Siakam and others, Nembhard, like, that's everything just sort of fits right now. And they're clicking at the right time when you want them to be clicking. And he's just a gamer. He's just a playmaker. That, according to his daddy, that's just what they effing do, dog.
No, it's more than fair. All right, quickly before we let you go, the Grizzlies make it official. They hire Tuomas Iasalo as the head coach. They take the interim tag off. Were you in favor of the move?
Listen, only time will tell as it pertains to that. Last time I heard the general manager talk, he talked about having uncomfortable conversations. And so if they're having uncomfortable conversations, I'm fine with it. They've also got to be willing to make uncomfortable decisions. I'm fine with it. I just want a coach who can look at a star player or players and say, hey, you're not getting the job done. And for the player to see that, hear that, receive that, and to go out there and get the proverbial job done. I want what Chris Finch was able to do yesterday. Was it yesterday? Yesterday. When he said, hey, Anthony Edwards is a star. This game was basically, this game needed a star to take it over. Anthony Edwards is supposed to be a star. He can't have a game like that, right? Like, yep. To be able to call a star player out in the media, and I'm assuming also in the locker room during, at some point in time, either post game or film or at practice, at some point in time, call them out and say, hey, you've got to do a better job and get the job done. That's the type of coach that I think this team needs. And so Isolo can do that. We're in a good spot. If not, then I'm not sure what they're expecting to happen differently next year.
CJ, appreciate your time, my man.
Appreciate y'all.
That is CJ Hurt of Grind City Media. When we come back, we tell your story next, right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM.
Hey, everyone. Summer is just around the corner, and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high-quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hey, I'm Tank Sinatra here with my co-host,
Investigator Slater.
And we would like to tell you a little bit about our podcast, Psychopedia.
It's true crime infused with comedy.
Making it a crime-ity.
I do extensive investigative research and go deep into the darkest corners of the human psyche.
And I'm just here to lighten things up a little bit with humor, baby. You know, never at the expense of the victims, though, obviously.
Come join our family of little psychos over on Psychopedia. Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
ESPN. All right, Cobb, for today's Don't Tell These Story, Tell Your Story, let's go to one of the great places for takes, college football message boards. The subject header, Nebraska joining Colorado and Kansas in a move to the SEC. Here's the TLDR, too long didn't read, from ChatGPT. The authors suggest insights from a well-connected friend suggesting that there's a growing push among former Big 8 schools to reunite, especially with the SEC becoming more attractive and stable home than the Big 10 or a revamped Big 12. Nebraska, Kansas, and Colorado are reportedly interested in joining the SEC to rekindle historic rivalries, boost exposure, and regain relevance. Nebraska, in particular, feels disillusioned with its Big 10 experience and sees an opportunity to rejoin old partners like Oklahoma and Missouri. Meanwhile, the SEC values the schools for regional consolidation, brand growth, and additional perks like the College World Series presence in Omaha. A fourth addition, likely Florida State, would balance this expansion, with Iowa State left out due to market concerns.
Oh.
There we go. Hey, Colorado, Kansas, and Nebraska, SEC members. Get
well,
ready
it makes
for
perfect
it.
Sense to me. In fact, you would still be geographically contiguous.
Yep, they consolidate.
Mm-hmm. Nebraska touches Missouri barely, and then touches Kansas and touches Colorado, and Kansas touches Missouri. So, I mean, shoot, why not?
I do feel confident in this. I will not say that the SEC won't expand again. I do not think they will add Colorado, Kansas, and Nebraska.
Not only would those schools have to come in at a reduced share, they would either have to come for free or they would literally have to pay for
SMU.
Their membership.
They'd have to SMU it. All right, my man. We appreciate you being with us.
Hey, thank you, sir.
That is David Cobb of CBS Sports. If you missed anything, be up on the podcast shortly after the program ends. For George, for Cobb, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show is coming up next.